Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson, our podcast. I'm thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Casper Stockham, who is a candidate for Congressional District 7 here in Colorado. It's great to have you here, Casper.
Yes, it's good to be here with you.
And on the line is another good friend, and that is Elbert Guillory. He is a former state senator from Louisiana and also a former law professor at Rutgers. Elbert Guillory, it's so great to have you on the line.
Kim, good morning. It's great to be here with you and with Casper.
Gentlemen, America has changed significantly, particularly, Elbert, since the last time I talked with you. You know, we've been talking about, race in America, you know, opportunity. We've talked about Trump, the opportunities that were being, that were occurring within the Black community under the Trump administration. And so I've not talked to you, Elbert, since COVID. What are you seeing out there now?
I'm concerned, deeply concerned. Actually, I'm more than concerned. I'm scared for the future of America. There are forces that are working tooth and nail, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to divide us and to destroy the liberties and freedoms that exist nowhere else on earth but in America.
I see that as well, Elbert. And a friend of mine said, regarding Trump, whether or not you like him or don't like him, what has happened is he has brought clarity to these issues. And Casper, I find that that is very true. I would see things that were kind of percolating underneath the surface,
And
it didn't quite match up. But now the veil is off. We see, as Elbert mentioned, this division, this destruction of the American idea.
Yeah.
And in a way, I find that positive that we at least see what's going on, Casper.
Yes, we can see it. You know, it used to be on the fringes. You know, we'd see like a Bernie Sanders say something, but the typical Democrat wouldn't say the same thing. You know, they weren't going there. But now they go there freely. You know, there's no real difference between the rank and file Democrat and socialist thoughts and ideas and so forth. So this fight's been coming for a while, but it's very clear now. You know, the sides to me are very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that, and I'm really making a recommendation that people vote Republican up and down the ticket. And Elbert Guillory, sometimes I hear people say, well, I want to look at both candidates, and then I'll make my decision about who I think is best. We don't have that luxury this particular election cycle, because even somebody that might have been a moderate Democrat, we don't see them standing up against these radical activists that have overtaken the Democrat Party. And Elbert, you know this firsthand because you were a Democrat for many years, correct?
That is correct. It is sad. So many of my colleagues, my former colleagues, I expected to stand up and put an end to this insanity, to the destroy gas and oil industry, destroy the automobile industry, all of this craziness, but their voices are not being heard. So no, we don't have the benefit of just looking at every candidate. We must go straight Democrat, straight Republican, and we have to send not only the president back, but we have to send a strong Congress and a strong Senate, which is why I've been working so hard to make sure that Casper Stockham wins and goes to Washington, D.C.
Well, and to that point, voting Republican, but then we don't just then put our the people. Actually, I think there's politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties. You know, I no longer refer to these people that we elect as elected. As elected officials. Mm-hmm. They are elected representatives, Casper Stockham.
Right, right.
And so many people have gone back to Washington. They've been in Washington for so long that they forget who they represent.
Exactly.
And that is us. And I know that that is something that you really hold near and dear to your heart.
I do.
Is the people.
I do. I, I'm the candidate of the people. I come from the people, but not just that. You know, I listen to all sides. I'm not just a Republican. You know, I'm not just a conservative. I talk to more Democrats than I do Republicans. And when the Antifa and the BLM folks are out there, if they're in a mode to where they are willing to talk, I talk to them. I want to hear what they have to say. I'm not ignoring them. I'm not ignoring their cause or their plight or their issues. You know, I want to hear what they have to say. But it's funny because their issues they're the same as my issues. You know, they think that, you know, by destroying or holding a sign that says Black Lives Matter, they act like that's actually going to do something. And I go up to them. I said, you know, if you want to help a black life, go help a black life. Why are you holding a sign? If you really are that into it or concerned about black lives, then do something about helping a black person. You know.
Well, I tell you, Albert, as Casper just said, I think each of us care about individuals. You know, Calvin Coolidge said, if all men are created equal, then that is final. That is the thing that we want to strive for, is that people, you know, it's impartial under the law here in America. We want to strive for that excellence instead of tearing it down. And these people that say that Black Lives Matter, I saw something this last weekend that there were like 7 white privileged kids that were out actually rioting, looting, destroying things. And they came from, you know, wealthy families. And yet they say they're standing up for Black Lives, but yet they're destroying stuff. It just doesn't match up with me, Albert.
Does not match up at all. It makes no sense whatsoever. Dr. King spent a decade and a half working very, very hard. Nonviolent protests, peaceful protests, and he changed the conscience of America. He touched the conscience of America. And America responded by making major changes. That's the kind of responsible voice that must be raised. But the destruction of property, the burning, the looting, that is not in any way designed to help America. As a matter of fact, it is having a major.
So, Casper, we hear that there, I think, and a young person was trying to explain this to me early on. Mm. You know, after the George Floyd situation, mm-hmm. what happened there, that so many people want to say that Black Lives Matter. And that, I mean, yes, that is true. But then what happened is that movement was hijacked by the Democrat Party, because now if you go to blacklivesmatter.org and click donate, the money goes to Act Blue,
exactly.
Which is the big fundraising arm of the Democrat Party.
Exactly.
And what you've seen then with Antifa and these activists that have come in and destroyed black communities.
Right.
It's not about that. What it is, it's a Marxist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And under Marxism, you get rid of the individual.
Right.
And you get rid of private property.
Right.
So they go in and they loot. They're actually non-discriminatory. they take, you know, loot all the businesses.
Yeah.
And that is that's something that we need to make sure is clear.
Yeah, which is why it's easy to see, at least for us, you know, because we're actually looking at it from the other side. We see them attacking any life. It doesn't matter if it's black or not. You know, if you are part of the establishment, if you are a business, if you are a homeowner, you know, if you have any kind of property, they don't care if you're black or white. They're going to attack it, all in the name of Black Lives Matter. But how I approach them. Especially if they're black, I say, look, when they say Black Lives Matter, I don't say all lives matter, because that does start to cause the division. What I say is your life matters. And that puts them in a totally different mindset.
Interesting. Okay.
I say, now your life matters. Now let's talk about how we can help you in your life, because I'm black too. Right. So it's amazing when I talk to white BLM people and I ask them, I say, so do all black lives matter? Well, yeah. I said, okay, does my black life matter? You know, I'm asking them because as we get into this conversation, they're going to start to attack me because I'm Christian, because I'm conservative, because I'm Republican. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. I thought my Black life mattered. Do I not get the opportunity like you have, you know, with privilege? Do I not get the opportunity to actually enjoy privilege as well? Just because I'm a Black conservative and you think that that's against you, all of a sudden now you're going to try to attack me for it? You know, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense at all. Albert Guillory, why don't you weigh in on this whole conversation regarding Black Lives Matter? What's your thoughts on that?
I'm saddened by it. That movement, which is very, very divisive, which is very violent, has hurt many, many Black folk. It's rebounded back on the Black community. It's hurting us in so many ways. So I think that's... And it has nothing to do with Black folk. It's an anti-Christian, anti-family act, a movement that really I wish would go away.
Well, yeah, and it takes away property. I remember seeing a woman in Brooklyn clearly. She seemed like an immigrant, had an accent, and her business had been looted. And she's like, I've worked my life for this. She just could not comprehend how people in America could come in and destroy a business, which that goes to the next question. And Albert, I'll go to you first. Defunding the police. When I look at the crime statistics, it's increasing significantly here in Denver. But I'm thinking, let's say I'm a mom on the south side of Chicago, and we're coming in on either Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, and typically we've seen, you know, violence and shootings. And I'm thinking, how am I going to protect my children? I don't know what's going to happen this night, this weekend. At least you, as that mom, I would want to know that I could call the police and the police would come and stand up against the bad guys. And so this whole defunding the police, and I think there should be some police reform, and there can be bad actors, but I think this is a false narrative that's being pushed out there to actually, you know, get rid of policing, which will then let the bad guys and the thugs have free reign in these neighborhoods. What do you think, Albert?
This has been done before. Many people who are unfamiliar with history do not realize that in the 1930s, one of the first things that Hitler's people did for the Third Reich was to defund the police, to destroy the police structures, so that when their brown-shirted thugs would come in, there would be no law enforcement to quell what they were doing. And that's what's happening here. We are heading to some very bad days because without police, the thin blue line between civilization and absolute thuggery,
yes,
we're in great danger.
So Casper Stockham, is your opponent, has he stood up or stood against this thuggery, this, you know, where's he standing on this whole safe community situation?
Well, he supports BLM, he supports Antifa, he supports defunding police, but they've changed the term now because they did a poll and found out that defunding police is not a good term. So they, you know, they're just trying to reform the police and things like that. But it's the same thing. Okay, they haven't changed any of the internal guts of the bill. You know, they just changed the name of it. But if you notice, though, I have a different approach when it comes to Democrats, because I really don't fault them for what they're doing, in the sense that when my children act up, right, I expect my children to act up, but I need to step in as the adult and correct them. There's no correction going on, right? Now, if you notice, when President Trump had his the Republican convention, and he gave his speech and so forth, and Rand Paul and others were there at the White House, and as they were leaving, they got attacked, you know, for lack of a better word, they got harassed and stuff on the street. Then all of a sudden, the next day, Rand Paul starts to talk about looking into the funding of these groups. Well, these things have been going on for months. It didn't just start you know, last week at the, you know, at the White House. It's been going on for months. So where has Rand Paul and all the other leaders in on the Republican side, where have the adults been in the room to call out this foolishness months ago, even years ago? You know, that's what I will be doing.
But the minute they do that, Casper, they're called racists.
I don't care. So they're going to call them names no matter what.
Okay.
With or without, they're calling them names and they're not doing anything.
True that.
So I'm like, so what? You call me a name. You know, there's a point to where you just have to be the adult in the room. My kids call me names. They call me a mean parent because I spanked them, because I told them to go to their room.
Did you just say that on air?
Yeah, I spanked them, right. And my kids are well-behaved, mm-hmm. right? And my mom spanked me, by the way, a lot. And she didn't just hit me with a hand, right? I got hit with belts, boards, whatever was close. But my point is that and our kids are going to call us names, but at the end of the day, all my kids have come back to me and said, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so we have to be the adults in the room, step up and do the right things to squash this, because if you don't discipline a child, they will continue down a bad road.
That is most definitely for sure. And yeah. Albert Guillory, I know you have some kids. What's your thoughts on disciplining kids here?
Well, my mother lived and spared the rod and spoiled the child. My mother had a very rambunctious and mischievous little boy named Albert, and she made sure that he would learn to respect and to become a decent, law-abiding American. And I've done the same thing for my kids. As a matter of fact, if you talk to my adult kids, say to them, get the brush. And they will laugh because they know that you've been talking to their daddy about spanking them when they were young. I always used a nice, fat back brush. And I haven't had to spank them since they were 5 years old.
Exactly.
I actually used a fly swatter, Albert, and my kids now talk about the fly swatter with great affection, I
exactly.
guess, if you
exactly.
will.
Exactly, yeah.
They liked it when they got yeah. fast enough that I had to run faster.
I passed a bush on the road that looked like the one in our backyard, and I got out and beat that bush down.
But to that point, I have seen parents that let the kids get out of hand, and then what has happened when they got to adults? It's not good. It's not good if you don't have discipline in your life, and so that's really important. I want to move over to another thing, and I'm going to start with you, Albert, and that is these wealthy black entertainers and sports figures that are talking about Black Lives Matter. And I want to go to LeBron James, you know, and the kneeling with Colin Kaepernick, kind of the disrespect for the American idea, for the American flag. And what is happening is their fan base, they're losing their fan base. It's the everyday hardworking people, whether or not they're black, Hispanic, white. You know, they've paid money. They've liked to wear jerseys of these people that are so talented, and to watch them, you know, be really good at what they do. But I think everyday people are getting tired of kind of being beaten on this. And so LeBron James is going to be just fine. But if, say, the NBA loses their fan base, what about all these new young athletes that are hoping to have, you know, their chance at that golden ring? I think they're taking that away from them. What do you think, Albert?
I think they'd better start thinking about getting a job, a real job, getting an education, not just sitting around college and high school playing ball. I am not at all sad. I want you to know that I'm a former football player. At the military and college level, I represented national football players as a lawyer. So I've been really locked into the football for many, many, many years of my life. It's over. It is over.
Oh,
I
wow.
can no longer sit back and watch these bully bullies disrespect the nation, disrespect the flag. It is over. I hope that they all go and get out, because I have not shed one tear for the demise of football and basketball in America. I think that a bunch of spoiled athletes, multimillionaires, they were serious. Just for a moment, they were serious. They could do so much. They could fund a school, a group of urban schools, in a second. They could do that if they were serious. But they aren't serious. They're just buffoons making following down the line of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, it's the same problem that we just talked about. It's kids acting up, and they are young. Most of them in their 20s or whatever. Young kids have no clue. Didn't grow up right, so they don't act right. Mm-hmm. And had the coaches and the owners started to find these athletes when they started kneeling. Okay, when Colin Kaepernick started kneeling, it's okay, you can kneel, and that'll be 5,000 hours every time you kneel. Keep kneeling, and we just keep charging you 5,000 hours. And we'll take that money, because you're kneeling for this cause, and we take that money and put it toward the cause. And if you want to keep kneeling, keep kneeling.
Yes. You know.
Okay, so you mentioned growing up right. You know, I mean, I think about Lincoln. Lincoln had a very difficult childhood. He was poor. His mother died. He did not get along with his father. You know, he had all of the quote-unquote disadvantages.
Right.
But yet he read and he studied and he self-taught.
Sure.
And the education of our children, in many ways, it's been hijacked by public education, mm-hmm. by the radical activist left. But Albert Guillory, I know that this is near and dear to your heart, and it is to mine as well, and that is school choice. Again, if I am that mom, let's say in Baltimore, and my kids are going to a failing school, I think Candace Owens just recently said in Baltimore that there was a very low percentage of Black male students that could read or write or do arithmetic. And her point on that is what happened under slavery? Your Black men could not read and write and do arithmetic. She was drawing a correlation there, which I had not thought about. But school choice, Albert Guillory, I know is so important to you.
Yes, it is. I have worked very hard to make sure that charter schools and vouchers available for the students who are relegated to the lowest performing and worst, most violent and disrupted schools in America. Gives you in support terribly. Democrats, their puppets, have fought beside them to destroy the concept of school choice. And it's terrible. I graduated about 60 years ago, 59 years ago, from a segregated, underfunded school in my hometown. Today, the reading and science and math scores from the integrated high school today are lower, not by a year or two, but like 5 and 6 years, lower than our scores 59 years ago. Public education is a gross failure, and if these athletes want to do something about it, they have the money to change it overnight. It wouldn't
yes.
hurt them at all.
Yeah, yeah. The
Casper, what do you think?
When it comes to education, you can have an Abraham Lincoln that rises above or through all those diversities, but it's not common. And the challenge in the inner city is that it's not common for a child to be able to get through that successfully. And because of that, they're going to have all kind of problems in their adult life, especially in America, where it's a land of opportunity. And they don't even have enough skills to even read through the Constitution or read through a job application.
But we're spending a lot of money. Baltimore, I did some research years ago. I think we're spending nearly $20,000 per student in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But yet they can't read?
Yeah, yeah, because we're not spending it on reading, writing, and arithmetic. We're spending it on administration fees and security fees and built, you know, all these things that have nothing to do with the classroom. The money is not in the classroom. The money is all around the classroom, but not in the classroom. It's not spent on the kids, and it's not spent on the teachers.
And we're letting our kids down on that. So, Casper Stockham, you go to Washington, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to shine light on all of it, and I'm going to point to, and I'm going to go in there and say, look, are there any adults in the room? All the adults in the room, raise your hand, please, because I don't see any adult actions going on. I don't see us calling out any of this foolishness for what it is. It's foolishness. But they're not saying it. Who's saying it? Trump is saying it. Do you see anybody else saying it? I really don't. And it wasn't until Rand Paul, who I have a lot of respect for, I love him, but until he got accosted on the street himself, he wasn't saying anything either.
So
yeah, it's going to take someone to say, look, I don't care. You know, I don't want it to be me. I want to make sure we stop it now before it gets to it's me.
So, Albert Guillory, you and Casper Stockham have been friends for many, many years. And I know that you were recently out here in Colorado, and I was sorry to miss you. But why have you really, you know, come out and thrown your support for Casper Stockham for this Congressional District 7 seat?
I have four reasons. My four grandchildren.
Aww.
I want a good America for those four little children. And I took two of them with me so that they could see. We went through downtown Denver, the once vibrant, beautiful downtown Denver, and they saw it all boarded up. They talked while I was listening, while I was about how violence had destroyed their livelihoods and destroyed their little mom and pop stores.
It's heartbreaking.
My grandchildren have learned how desperate our situation is, and they, without any prompting, they have asked me, and they've asked their dad, my son Albert, what can we do? What can we do? We have to stop this. We have to save this country. That is why I believe that America is at risk, and we must save it. We must do what we have to do to end all of this violence and destruction, get back on the right track, get our kids educated, get public school systems working again, and let them learn about the wonderful, beautiful things that are American and that are available nowhere else on earth.
Yeah. One of the things about going to D.C. is that one person can have a loud voice. You know, we've seen this on the other side with the AOC, right? Mm-hmm. Her voice has been loud. Now, she's been saying some things that are totally against America, but she has a loud voice. So what if we had voices like Lauren Boebert, myself, you know, and others who are speaking up on the other side loudly, just like she is, boldly, just like she is, but on the right side of history, you know, on the side of freedom, on the side of liberty, and just be unapologetically American. That's what we need in D.C. right now. We don't have a lot of that right now.
Well, we're getting close to our time on this and kind of the final thought. But, Albert, as I have looked at a number of these young candidates in the Republican Party that are stepping forward, women and different ethnicities and veterans, I find something really exciting happening there. But, you know, Ronald Reagan back in 1964 with his Time for Choosing speech, it's so relevant to us today. We have a choice that we have to make. And it really is, I think we're at a precipice, and it's an important decision. What's your final thoughts on this, Albert Guillory?
I do believe, I agree with you absolutely, that America is at a crossroads. I urge every American, every person who is concerned about freedom and liberty to work hard. We must expand our common sense. Politicians like Casper Stockham in the Congress and in the Senate, and we must hope the presidency so that he can finish drinking this law and can finish doing the fantastic job that he's done with the economy, with education, I mean, in every aspect. Today, they're having this big ceremony in the White House because of the freedom that he brought to the Middle East, the peace that he's bringing to the Middle East. The man's doing a fantastic job. Even if he needed the toilet seat up in the White House, they want to impeach him because they can't find any good reason to impeach him. So I just ask that every American join with us in this fight. Support Casper, Denverites, Coloradoites, and support America, America.
Well, Albert Guillory, former state senator, Louisiana, and former Rutgers law professor, thank you so much for joining this podcast. Casper, final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listener.
Yeah.
Listeners.
One of the biggest things they've always said about Republicans, in modern times at least, is that, you know, they're a bunch of racists. And right now, across America, there are 30, 40, I don't even know what the number is, but there are in the general election, not the primary, in the general election going up against Democrats are young, bright, conservative, black, Hispanic women and so forth that the party should be backing 100%.
It's exciting.
It's exciting, but the party is not backing them 100%. I know because I'm one of them. You know, and it's sad because I'm the only Republican running and I have Republicans spending money against me. So that's our problem.
We could never have won the Revolutionary War if our guys were funding the British.
Right.
You know,
right. And that's the challenge right now. So, and I'm not crying because I'm a big boy. I can, you know, I can take the heat and whatever, you know, that's what politics is all about, right? It's a contact sport. But at the end of the day, we have to save our country, and it's about us all coming together. I will work with the establishment, with the elite, with whoever. If they're Republican and they want to save our country, I'm all in. So I'm all in this race. We're doing great in City 7. I wanted to tell you listeners that we are going to out-fundraise our prior races that we've run in City 1.
Awesome.
We're probably going to, not probably, I believe we already have surpassed the CD7 races the past two cycles, and I like those guys a lot. They're friends of mine, but we're already going to out surpass their fundraising efforts for CD7. We're going to probably hit 100,000 in campaign donations this cycle or more.
Awesome.
So we're doing great. We need a lot more help though, a lot more support. We're like 50 days out or so, and we're just every day we're working on this campaign.
And
so
Casper, you know, I have this adopt a candidate program now.
Yes,
I'm
yes,
recommending
I like
that people adopt a candidate.
Yes, I like that.
And that would mean that you would help them. You could, for sure, donate to them if that works for you. Walk neighborhoods, make phone calls, text messages, you know, write cards. And I know that you're very adoptable. So how can people help you?
I am very adoptable and lovable. So they can go to casper4colorado.com. That's Casper, C-A-S-P-E-R. forcolorado.com, and they can go there. They can donate, of course, but they can join our team. We are getting yard signs out. We have yard sign requests every day. People wanting
awesome.
Yard signs. We have large banner signs that we're putting out. We have a billboard, thanks to Albert's organization. We have a billboard in the district. So we're just excited. You know, things are moving a lot better than they ever were. I have a campaign manager, a chief of staff. I have a communications director. I have volunteers. You know, I have a lot of great team members who are
very serious.
Yes.
Very serious. So, Casper Stockham, thank you so much for stepping forward to do this. I really appreciate it. Albert Guillory, it's so great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
It's always a joy.
Okay, so this is Kim Munson with Sounding Off with Kim Munson. God bless you, and God bless America.